Matthew 26 this morning. Matthew 26 is where we'll read from in a few moments. There's an old Chinese story that goes like this. A group of elderly, cultured gentlemen met often to exchange wisdom and to drink tea. Each host would try to find the very best, the very finest, most costly varieties of tea to be able to serve to their guests and create these wonderful blends of tea, always trying to get the admiration of those who have showed up at their place and to whom they are serving tea. One day, it was time for the most venerable, the most respected one in the group to host everyone else. When it came time to serve the tea, he did it with unprecedented ceremony. Everything laid out, everything going really well. He would scoop the tea leaves from a golden box out to these others who were gathered for this time of visiting, sharing, being philosophical perhaps. Well, those who were assembled, those other men praised the exquisite tea. It was just wonderful. It was just so good. The host smiled at the other men. And he said to them, "The tea that you drink today is the same tea that the peasants drink." He said, "I hope it'll be a reminder to you that all the good things in life are not necessarily the rarest or the most costly. Sometimes they are just ordinary." Jesus was good at taking ordinary elements and giving them new meaning. And when we come to the table, we find Jesus doing just that. Jesus took bread, which is so common, so common. Tea, for the Chinese men, it was so common. For Jesus, it was the wine at the meal, customary to the meal. Probably most of the time they took it even at the Passover meal, maybe just out of ritual and routine because it was the Passover. These are grown men, they've experienced it many times. But Jesus takes ordinary and gives new life to them. New meaning to them. Let's read the text from Matthew 26, beginning at verse 26, a brief text today. While they were eating, Jesus took some bread, and after a blessing, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Jesus started all of this. This meal that we take together today, Jesus started. He took the bread, ready, normal part of a meal, and certainly at the Passover meal was a part of it, but especially prepared for the Passover, as they had been doing from the Passover since the time of Moses. Common, normal, even when it's not the Passover, bread is so common and it is so normal as a part of every meal. You're in a hotel in Israel, and breakfast and at supper, when you show up to eat, there are not just bread, but there are varieties of bread. There are bread that you can just take as a roll. There's bread loaves and a bread board and a bread knife, and you can cut what you want, and on your way you go, and a variety of things to put on it as well. Bread. So he took the bread. Then he took the cup. Cup of wine that he would take and began to speak words that were turning this ordinary into something special. There's something he did before each one. Before the bread, he gave a blessing. Before the cup, he gave thanks, it says. Different words, but similar words to which they were describing that he prayed. He offered a blessing over the bread. He offered a thanksgiving over the cup. as he gave these back to the Lord, as he made them something special and unique out of that which is ordinary. But the focus of all of it is upon God, of what God is doing, blessing God for the bread and the body, thanking God for the cup and the blood, focusing their attention to the Lord. And that's what we need to be doing. That's important for us as we come to the table. A special and unique meal for us that we come to it is so central to who we are. And certainly in Baptist life, is we have allowed and began to understand how important it is to us that we observe it more than we used to. You know, I grew up in a day and time, and some of you did as well, when you observed the Lord's Supper once a quarter, whether we needed it or not. You know, and then your Catholic friends and your Episcopalian friends and your Lutheran friends who did it every Sunday looked at you weird and you looked at them weird. But yet we've come to realize it is important for us to come to this. Jesus gave us the elements of the meal, and what do we do with each one? Bread, cup, normal, ordinary ones. With the bread, he said to them, eat. With the cup, he said, drink. It's what you do. But he also said, for all of us, all of us, to come and gather together. And he gives meaning for these elements. Provides something special and unique and gives meaning to them. To the bread, he says, this is my body. This is my body, he says. To the cup, to the wine, he says, this is my blood. But these elements are purely symbolic in meaning. No one there was confused about that. Nobody at that meal, those disciples gathered around the table with Jesus, were confused about the symbolic meaning of these. The confusion came later when men developed elaborate theologies trying to explain everything of the Lord's Supper. And there's a mystery to it that you can't explain all of it. And we developed these elaborate theologies and different ones. Men have confused it. Jesus made it rather simple. Jesus was right in front of them saying, this is my body, as he held the bread, and as he took the cup and poured the wine, this is my blood, being purely symbolic. It's not like no one there would take that literally. Why would they? They could see his physical body. It wasn't like he had torn a chunk out of it and said, this is my body. No, he had taken bread. This is my body. This represents my body. And as he held the cup and the wine in the cup, this is my blood, and it represents my blood. There's no reason for any of this to have anything other than a symbolic meaning, but its symbolism is important for us. And symbolism is meaningful to us. And Jesus connects it to our relationship with Him. Because the symbolism of the bread and the cup is only fulfilled when you participate. Jesus' death was accomplished for you, and you fulfill that participation in the supper. When Jesus died on the cross for you, but yet when you come to faith and trust in Christ, and you follow in baptism, as we've seen this morning, and you live out that first ordinance that He has given example to all of us, in His own baptism, as He's given instructions to us as we make disciples. One of those elements in making disciples is baptizing them, bringing them into the body of Christ, bringing them together. And as we baptize, we display what happens to us, that immersion in the water of a picture of death. But we don't leave people there. We don't hold everybody under until they run out of air. We don't do that to them, but we come back up. It's a picture of that new life that we have in Jesus. And so when we come to the table, Jesus is connecting the elements of the table to Him as well. But you have to participate. Baptism is just something that happens in the church and is a part of the church until it happens to you. Until you participate in it. And so it is with the supper. It doesn't have the depth of meaning until you participate in the supper as well. Well, Jesus gives us the bread, and He really didn't say that much about it. Take, eat, this is my body, He says. doesn't elaborate a whole lot on it. So when we take the bread, we're reminded it's the body of Christ. We can think about that. We know something. We know that He was born. We've got scriptural evidence of His birth and the story of His birth and of His naming and His circumcision and being a 12-year-old boy who grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. And then we have His earthly ministry recorded for us. So we see His life. We know His crucifixion story, His burial, His resurrection into a physical body, and to which He told Thomas, well, here, stick your fingers in the holes of My hand. So His body, a real body, and Jesus says, this bread, it is a symbol of My body. But He gives us more on the cup. He expounded a little more with the cup. The cup is a reminder of a covenant relationship. It reminds us of that relationship that we have with God in Christ. In establishing a new standard, God's people had lived under a covenant relationship for a long time, but He brings new meaning to it into a new covenant relationship to establish a community of people, a community that's created by the sacrifice of Jesus and those who are brought together by it as they believe in Him, accept Him, and receive His salvation and His forgiveness. And it creates a community of people from all of God's children, that when we can gather with God's people, whether they're the people in the local setting where we all typically gather, or whether we're visiting and they're there together, what a wonderful, beautiful opportunity it is to be a community of God's people together. When I pastored in Temple for all those years, right across the street from us was the Christ Episcopal Church. I realize a lot of times we don't have a real high image of the Episcopal Church, but I did of that one. David, their pastor, became a dear friend and a close friend. In fact, in the Lenten season of the year, every year they would have some kind of series, and I spoke at that. One year he had invited me to do so, and I was there for a number of other times, and they usually, if they gathered, they came to the table. It was just a part of their service every time. I was there when they did not, but it was rare. And it was interesting knowing theological differences between that congregation and myself and the congregation I pastored, some of whom would come across certainly when I was there speaking. But yet there was a common nature between us when we came to the table. So common, in fact, and so building of community of God's people that it got to the place that if I was there, He simply asked me to come and help serve. What a wonderful, gracious gift. But that's what Jesus is doing at the table. He draws people together, all of God's people together, creates a community, whether you know one another or not, but yet when you share that commonality of faith in Christ, it brings us together in community. It's a reminder to us that His blood was poured out for many. Obviously, very strong sacrificial language. It's poured out, not accidentally knocked over, not bumped and sloshed out of the cup. No, poured, intentional. Giving of it, though, willingly. Doing it Himself, pouring out the blood. It was a sacrifice that was necessary. If the new covenant's going to be established, then the shedding of Jesus' blood was necessary, was important. If there's going to be forgiveness of sin, there's got to be a blood sacrifice. And Jesus' blood sacrifice was intentional and on purpose. He pours it out for the forgiveness of our sin. And without it, we don't have the forgiveness of sin. And without it, we do not have a covenant relationship with God that knits us together with God and then is able to knit together God's people as well. But the cup is also a reminder of the forgiveness of our sin. Because the cup is a symbol for us of the blood of Christ which washes away our sin. As we sung about this morning, Ben prayed about earlier, makes us white as snow. Got a fresh reminder. Maybe God thought we needed a fresh reminder today. Just look out the window. It's okay. What a great reminder. That God takes our heart in the sin that stains us, brings impurity to our lives, makes us dirty, and washes it with the red shed blood of Jesus Christ, and makes your life and makes my life white as snow. What a beautiful image for us. God can do that. The power of God at work in our lives to cleanse us and to purify us and to make us white as snow. That sacrifice so necessary for the forgiveness of our sins. And so as we take the cup this morning, be reminded of that. Jesus connects all of this to the creation of this biblical community known as the church. Because we partake together. We do so because we have accepted Jesus as our Savior and we're part of the family of God and we together are God's people. And as God's people, we are able to come together to the table to take of the meal that He has given to us. To take of the bread as a symbol of the body of Christ. To take of the cup as a symbol of the blood of Christ. And what He endured in His physical body on our behalf and for us as He paid the penalty for our sin. And that blood that He willingly, sacrificially poured out. And washes across our sin-stained hearts. And makes us white as snow. And then we can identify as brothers and sisters in Christ. As God's children. And draw together around the table. As a family. As God's children saved by Jesus Christ. Because of what He does in us. While the elements are normal and ordinary, there's nothing ordinary about this meal. While we take of it and we take a small wafer of unleavened bread, quite the contrast to the yummy deliciousness of a cinnamon roll this morning with yeast in it that's risen. But the purpose and the essential of that piece of unleavened bread going back all the way to Moses, the Passover out of the Exodus. And we take a small glass of grape juice as that symbol of the blood of Christ. Sometimes wishing it was a little bigger so it would wash more of the wafer away from your mouth. Common elements. Ordinary elements. But this is no ordinary meal.